We are so glad you guys are here in the basement this morning, and just right as we get started, I want to ask you to put away your phone or just anything that would be distracting to you, your Nintendo, I don't know, your Switch, your Rubik's Cube, anything that would be distracting. And if you need a Bible this morning, you can put your hand up, and we want to make sure you have a copy of God's Word. And we're going to turn together. I want to invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, the very first book of the New Testament. It's easy to find it by just looking at the very beginning of the New Testament. And we've, if you've been here in Exchange, you know that we've started this study here in Matthew in chapters 5 and 6 and 7 called the Sermon on the Mount. And in these chapters of the Bible, we get a read written down for us, a sermon from Jesus. Jesus' own sermon, and it's a sermon that is describing what it means to truly know God, somebody who truly is a follower of him, somebody who's truly a citizen of God's kingdom. It describes someone we should all want to be, a category, a person that we should want to be described by, a citizen of heaven. And this morning we come to the end of the Beatitudes, these verses that begin blessed. And we've seen all of these together. And this morning we come to Matthew 5, starting in verse 9. I can remember when I first moved to California, when I first came here as a teenager, there were some people here that kind of made fun of me a little bit. They made fun of me, and it's not because I dressed funny or had, you know, some weird clothes, even though that's true, I did. But they made fun of me in a kind way as friends because I said some things that were kind of weird. Maybe you can relate to this a little bit. I said some things weirdly, not being from California. Instead of calling something like Mountain Dew, instead of calling that soda, I called it pop. Yeah, I know, weird, right? Instead of calling the thing on the top of your house a roof, I called it a roof. Weird, right? Yeah. Instead of calling that meal that you have together as a family dinner, I called it supper. Yeah, I said some things, being from the faraway Midwest, kind of strangely. I said some things weird. And if you're not from around here in California, you might be able to relate with me. If your family like moved here for seminary or if you haven't lived here your whole life, there might have been some things that you said when you first moved here that sounded kind of weird. Now, I kind of like those differences that if you listen really closely can kind of help you tell that somebody's not from around here, somebody that isn't from around here. And in fact, I actually saw once a test that you could take on the internet and answer some questions about how you said things that would be able to tell where you're from. It could find exactly what state you're from or what city you're from just by the way you say a few words differently. Like maybe you say pop instead of soda or roof instead of roof or supper instead of dinner. Little things that add up to be able to show people where you're actually from. And Jesus, here in Matthew 5, has been doing something a little bit similar. He's saying that the Christians aren't from around here. We don't belong here in this world. And there's some things that will show up in our life that seem a little bit strange to this world. Christians are part of a different kingdom. We're part of the kingdom of heaven, and that will show by the way we live. We don't belong to this world ultimately. We're part of God's kingdom. And so true Christians, real Christians, are going to be people who stand out a little bit, people who do some things different and might even to this world look a little weird sometimes. And you can tell by the way they live, that they have a different home, a different place where they belong. We are citizens of God's kingdom, citizens of heaven if you're a Christian. And that's going to start to show in some very obvious, impossible to miss ways that will stand out. And unlike the rest of the world, we've seen here in these Beatitudes, chapter 5, verse 3, that a real Christian is going to look different because they're poor in spirit. We recognize that we are desperately sinful, and there's nothing that we can do to make ourselves right with God on our own. Christians will also, verse 4, be people who mourn over our sin. Verses 5 and 6 say that a true Christian, she's going to be meek and hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And verse 7, a Christian, he's going to be merciful to others. Verse 8, a Christian is going to be pure in heart. Those things look a lot different than the world that we live in. All of those things are going to make us stand out from the rest. That's not how the rest of the world lives. That's only how a true Christian changed by Jesus is going to live here in this world. But Jesus wants to show us there's nothing better than being in that category of people. He calls these people blessed. Somebody that we want to be described by. We want to be one of the people in this category, blessed by God. We should want to be a true Christian who's been changed to look like this. Here's who you want to be. To be a Christian is to be so, so blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? We've talked about that a little bit. It means the opposite of being somebody who's cursed. We know we don't want to be in that category of somebody who's cursed, who has God's disapproval on your life, God's frown on your life. You don't want to be in that category. You want to be the opposite, somebody who God smiles upon, somebody who God is pleased with, somebody who's in a right relationship with God that brings you true joy that you can't know apart from being in that relationship. That's somebody who is blessed, somebody who's then going to be comforted by God, who's going to inherit the earth, who's going to be satisfied, who's going to receive mercy, somebody who's going to see God. You want to be in this category of people who are blessed. And this morning, we come to two more descriptions of a Christian to understand, two more descriptions of a truly blessed person that we should want to be like. Two more even weird things about Christians that really stand out in this world that show we're not part of this world. We're part of the kingdom of heaven. Two more descriptions that if you don't know Jesus, if you really understand, should make you want to become a Christian, should make you want to be part of these people who are blessed. And two descriptions that if you already know Jesus should make you love being a Christian even more, and maybe even should challenge you to pursue these things even more in your life. Jesus shows us two explanations of what a Christian, this blessed person is like, a truly joyful, happy person is like. Here's a big idea to see this morning. A true Christian will be a peacemaker and will be persecuted. A true Christian will be a peacemaker and will be persecuted. Look at Matthew 5, verse 9. Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Let's pray. Lord, we ask you this morning that you would be with us and help us to understand these verses. Lord, I ask that for any student who's not part of this category, who's not a citizen of heaven, that they would become a citizen of heaven, that you would save them and bring them into a right relationship with you. Help us this morning to understand these verses and be with us during our time together. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Jesus here is describing what it is to be somebody who's in the kingdom, somebody who's entered the kingdom of heaven. We've seen that in these short little statements called Beatitudes. What is a true Christian, a blessed person who's part of the kingdom of heaven looking like? What is showing up in their life? These verses help us understand. And here in verse 9, we see that Christians are, number one, peacemakers. Christians will be peacemakers. This is going to describe what a Christian will be changed to look like. Verse 9, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Christians are peacemakers. We work for, we want to see, we love to promote and see more and more peace everywhere. We don't want conflict or hostility or war. We want harmony and peace, and we want to see that grow here in this world. Why is that, that the Christians, Jesus says, are peacemakers? Well, it all comes back to God. It comes back to the God who has saved us. Christians are peacemakers because we know a God who is a peacemaker. And it all starts with God. The Bible tells us that God is the Lord of peace in 2 Thessalonians. The Bible tells us that God is the God of peace in Romans 15. That's a great thing to be known by. I wonder what your nicknames are. I'm sure you have a nickname or two that people might refer to you by. Well, one of God's names that he's known by, that people should think of him as, is the God of peace. He loves to reconcile, to bring together what's been broken apart by sin. God loves to bring together what's been separated by sin. And the Bible is so clear about this. Even from the very beginning of the Bible, God is a God who loves to make peace. We know that from even the very first pages of Genesis, when we hear about how Adam and Eve sinned, and all of the human race, all of us have sinned, and we're guilty of sin, which has made a separation between us and God. We're all by our nature far away from God. We're separate from God. There's a huge gap between holy God and sinful us. There's no peace between us and God. There's a broken relationship between us and God. His wrath is on us because of your sin, my sin. Colossians 1:20 says, "On our own we are alienated." That means to be like far away from. You know, aliens, they're from far off. If you're born into this world, you are far off from God. You're alienated from God by sin. And even worse, it says that we're hostile to God. We're enemies of God. Sin is awful. It's terrible. And it's what takes away a peace between you and God. But the message of the Bible tells us that God has made a solution for that. God has worked out this great, incredible plan to make peace between you and him. Colossians 1:19 and 20, it says that it was the Father's good pleasure, or God's plan, the Father's plan through Jesus to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross. God is a maker of peace. He is the ultimate, the perfect peacemaker. How did he do that? He did that by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross in the place of sinners so that he could bring sinners back to himself. He made peace by sending Jesus to take away our sins and then to take away the hostility, to take away us from being alienated from him and to bring us to himself. Romans 5:1 says Christians have peace with God. We have our sins forgiven, hostility with God's taken away. We have peace with God. How? Through, it says, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the ultimate perfect peacemaker. And that is such a good message of good news for us to know, and a message of hope for sinners like you and me, isn't it? I want to ask you if you have been reconciled to God. I'm not talking about the person next to you or your friend group or your parents, your family, but you. What's your relationship with God like? You can only be in those two categories: somebody who's alienated and hostile to God, lost in your sin, or somebody who's placed your faith in Jesus and now has peace with him. If you don't know Jesus, God's wrath is on you. You're hostile to him. You're an enemy. You're alienated. And you need to be warned that God counts your sins against you, and you need to be reconciled. But there is good news that God is the peacemaker, and he wants you to come to him, and you can have those sins removed. You can have peace with God today. And he tells you to turn to Jesus, place your faith in him, and be saved. Anyone who turns from sin to believe in Jesus, God promises you peace with God. You can have peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that's not our work. That's God's work. God wants this. This is what God tells you about all through the Bible. He is a peacemaker. Now, what does that mean if you're already a Christian now? Well, if you've come to know this God, if you've come to know the God who makes peace, that should really start to change how you live in this world too. It means you should be a peacemaker too. If we know this about God, if we're Christians, we should now want to make that peace known to everyone in this world, that there's a God who wants your relationship that's been broken by sin to be fixed. He's a God who wants to make peace with you. If you're a Christian, you are an evangelist. You're somebody who tells people this good news that God is a peacemaker through the gospel by sending his son Jesus. And if you place your faith in Jesus, you can have that peace with God, sins forgiven. If you're a Christian, that's how you can be a peacemaker. You can tell people about this good news, about how God saves, about how he saved you. I want to encourage you, if you are a Christian, to be a peacemaker by telling people about how they can be saved, how they can have a right relationship with God. Tell people around you who don't know Christ that they can have peace with God. Invite your friends who don't know Christ to church to hear the good news. Invite them over to dinner or to supper, whatever you call it. Invite your friends over to your house who don't know Christ so that they can see the gospel, hear the gospel. Involve people who don't know Jesus in your life as a Christian so that they can hear about Jesus. Be somebody who tells others about how sin can be forgiven and how they can have peace with God. That's what it looks like for you to be a peacemaker if you're a Christian. But a peacemaker, a Christian, is also somebody who seeks to have peace in all of our relationships with other people around us too. A peacemaker is somebody who wants peace to spread everywhere we go and in the way we relate to our friends and our brothers and sisters and our parents. God wants you to be a peacemaker in your relationships with other Christians if you're a Christian. I can remember I went to a Christian school, and growing up in my classroom, probably like third or fourth grade, I can remember our teacher put this verse in a huge like poster that went all the way across the room. It was hard to miss. It was, "Blessed are the peacemakers." She really, I think, knew that our class didn't get along very well. She knew that we needed to hear this, that we needed to know how to get along with each other. We needed to be reminded of what God wants for you if you're truly a Christian in your relationships with others. A Christian is somebody who should remember to put off and repent of what we used to be all about, to put off hate and bitterness and wrath and unforgiveness and selfishness, all these things that we once were before we knew Jesus. God saves you from those things if you're a Christian. And now a Christian is somebody who needs to remember to put on love and forgiveness and peace towards others. Peace that God showed to us that we should show to others. We as Christians should want to be like our Father who makes peace, who forgives, who shows mercy, who works for harmony. That's God's will for you if you're truly a Christian. Let me stop and ask right there, does this describe you if you claim to be a Christian? Can people tell that you're from a different kingdom, that you're from the kingdom of heaven, that you're a citizen of God's kingdom because you are a peacemaker? This is what God wants for you if you've truly been saved by him, and it should start to show up in your life as a Christian. If you're a Christian, let me encourage you. You haven't arrived yet. God knows that. That's why he gives us this reminder. Let me encourage you this week to think of ways you can put on peace in your life with your brother or your sister, with your mom or your dad, with the friends in your life. Be somebody who's a peacemaker. Let me encourage you, if you're around unbelievers, to tell them about the peace that they can have with God through Jesus. Tell people about the gospel this week. Instead of what you used to be about bitterness and anger, be somebody who's forgiving, who creates peace. That's God's will for you as a Christian. And maybe just a word for you if you don't know Jesus, if you're not a Christian. Our hope would be that God would open your eyes to see how blessed, how wonderful, how awesome it is to be a Christian. Instead of having a life that's all about sin, all about bitterness and anger and wrath and fighting and conflict, broken relationships, hate, how amazing to have your life changed by Jesus, to be somebody whose life is filled with peace. Peace with others, love for others, kindness, forgiveness, grace, mercy. How incredible to be somebody who's known for being a peacemaker. Oh, I want to be somebody who's like that. I think we all should. God wants us to become peacemakers. How blessed to be a Christian. A true Christian will be a peacemaker, but Jesus also tells us, number two, that Christians will be persecuted. Verses 10 and 11 and 12 explain, if you're a Christian, you can expect persecution. We won't spend too much time on this, but Jesus tells us just this plain and simple message, and it's a message we can find in other places of Jesus' words, and even a whole letter in the Bible, 1 Peter, reminds us that in this world as Christians, there's going to be some difficult times. There's some things that we can expect if we're going to really live a life that's righteous, that's following Jesus in this world. Christians are going to stand out. We're not going to belong to the rest of this world anymore because we now belong to God. Our home's not here, and so that's going to make us stand out. There's going to be times when it looks really weird for you to be a Christian to the rest of the world. And that means there may even be times when hostility comes towards God's people, to Christians, just like there is towards God. Christians shouldn't be surprised by that. Jesus wants us to be ready for that. And for us, it hasn't looked like the worst kinds of persecution that have come towards other Christians. We haven't experienced that in America. We don't see that, but But you should know that the longer you follow Jesus, you should know that you will stand out. You will look differently than the rest of the world for living righteously. But I think you should really notice this, that Jesus says, verse 12, you can rejoice and be glad, even if you're treated differently for being a Christian. You can actually have joy in those moments that somebody without Christ can't have. You can rejoice and be glad when somebody makes a comment about you doing the right thing. You can find joy when you're treated as strange for not doing things that everyone else does. You can find joy when somebody says something unkind to you when you don't fit in for following Jesus. You can find joy even when you're persecuted for not following sin. That's an encouraging thing to know. Jesus says, rejoice and be glad. There's a special comfort, a special peace, a special presence of God right now for a Christian who is persecuted as they follow Jesus. And what is this joy that you can have living for Jesus? Well, it's not some kind of happiness like, man, this is so great when things are difficult. It's not just an emotion that comes and goes depending on if you're having a good day or a bad day, like circumstances, like, you know, you win a free trip to Disneyland. That makes you happy. That's not joy. It's not joyful because my team won the game today or joyful because I beat my big brother at a video game. That's not the joy that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about something that's deep down, something that's lasting peace and comfort that comes from knowing you know God. Joy is a deep, lasting peace and comfort that only comes from knowing God. That's what Christians have in this world, no matter what happens. You can have joy that sticks around even when you're hurting or sad. If you have Jesus, you can have joy and gladness that you would never know without him. Joy and peace and comfort because you know God. Joy knowing you're blessed by God, knowing his smiles on your life. You could ask any Christian who's walked with Jesus for a long time, and they can tell you about this kind of joy that comes even when they're treated differently for being a Christian. There's joy that comes, they would tell you, from knowing that you're honoring Jesus, you're living for him, even if others don't like it. They can tell you about joy that comes from knowing you're on Jesus' side, following in his footsteps, being associated with him and with other Christians before you. Jesus said they hated me first, and if you're a Christian, they'll hate you also. But there's a joy in knowing you're on Jesus' side. You're following him. They can also tell you that there's a joy from knowing you have heaven to look forward to forever with rewards that are great. Look at verse 12. Jesus says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. Those are joys you can only know if you're a Christian, even through times of persecution. There are joys that you can only know if you're following Jesus. And all of that, again, reminds us what a blessing to be a Christian, where you can have real, true joy in your life that sticks no matter what happens. What a blessing to be on the right side. What a blessing to look forward to heaven with Jesus forever. Blessed are the persecuted, Jesus says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here Jesus gives us two descriptions to understand of a blessed person, somebody we should all want to be made into, a true Christian who belongs to the kingdom of heaven. A Christian will stand out. They'll do some things that make them look weird in this world, that show that they're not from this world. We have a different home. What will it look like? It will look like you being a peacemaker and you having joy even in times of persecution. We can end this morning by asking one of those questions that we asked when we first started studying this sermon by Jesus a few weeks ago. And it's a very simple question that I want you to think about as we finish our study in these Beatitudes, these statements of blessedness from Jesus. What is that question? Am I in the kingdom? Does this section of the Bible describe you? Are you a kingdom citizen? It's the most important question for you to ask. It's a question that matters for eternity. And one way you can know that, you can understand that, is by asking if Jesus has changed your life to be somebody who's become a peacemaker and somebody who has joy knowing Jesus. Are you part of the kingdom of heaven? If you are, it'll show by the way you live. Not by saying words differently, like supper or pop or something like that. But it'll show up in the way that God has changed you to be a peacemaker and to be somebody who has joy, even in persecution. Dear Lord, we ask you this morning as we come to you, that you would help us to understand your word better, that we would, if we are truly Christians, grow in these ways, that we would become even better peacemakers, that we would make other people know about the peace that is available in Christ, and that we would rejoice and be glad as we live righteous lives. Thank you, Lord, for your words and for this Sermon on the Mount. And we pray you'd help us know it and apply it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.